Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. People, remember, if you have a Bank of St. Lucia account, everything going proper, you know. With a Bank of St. Lucia account, of course, you can get that home sweet home plan. You know, owning your home is that much easier. With Bank of St. Lucia, we aiming to make all your financial needs simple, and we're just taking care of things. This afternoon, I'm joined with none other than Miss Raisa Joseph. Raisa, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Buon pomeriggio, ma BMSC. How are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you're representing your institution.
Well, I expect to hear you speaking Creole. Mwen vle tan apale Creole.
Nah.
Padi man na, le ou te ale lekol mwen, asi we le fom asu kampas te diw abagay wote kay pale bali a Creole.
Yeah, well, you see, if you're an anokoze, you know you're going to give them that kind of style.
Mwen kay ba opawol nou an mwa fevriye mwa ede podas.
Well, let me tell you what. Mm-hmm. You understand? On Youth Unplugged, we appreciate the part, but I'll limit it since we're not in the month of October. But just to say, you know, we're actually in the month of independence. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I think that's why you're here today, you know.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. So for the people who don't know who Miss Raisa Joseph is, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, Raisa Joseph is from the community of La Riche's V4. She also represents the community of Monrepo, which was my first home, my maternal home.
Mopo in the place.
She is a former graduate of the V4 Comprehensive Secondary School, Safa Lewis Community College, someone who is heavily involved in a lot of youth work, a lot of church-based activities in the Catholic Church in V4, somebody who you would hear commenting on issues of national, political, and cultural development. Recently the executive director of the Folk Research Center, but just someone who is very passionate about country and wanting to see progress in St. Lucia and the Caribbean as a whole.
Okay, well, that's a mouthful. So yeah, we had to dissect that little by little and little. Of course, so starting off at the V4 Comprehensive Secondary School, do you know a few people who went to V4 Compre? Honestly, for the show for the past year, I've had a number of people who went to V4, namely, I think, T-Blacks told me, you know, he's big in his calypso. Mm-hmm. I guess. So V4 people doing a lot of things. I don't think it's just convent and college and, you know, V4 people in the place too. Miku, Denry, the entire coast. It's and Shuzel, Sufre Secondary as well. You know, a lot of people representing the South of the Island. I like when I ask somebody other than the convent and the college.
Well, you have to break stigma. All over St. Lucia, there is talent.
There's brilliance in every single.
Just a plug for Comprehensive Secondary School. This year, we mark 60 years since the school began. First comprehensive secondary school on island.
Okay. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you get to know something new.
We're learning every single week on Youth Unplugged. Starting off at Viewford, then moving on to South Louis. Can I ask what campus is down in the South, or is it?
I went to the one in the north.
In the north.
Yes. So okay. I did sociology, Spanish, and history at SAFA.
Okay. So I heard the Viewfort secondary, one of the campuses.
Oh, yes, there's an A-level extension, yes.
At campus.
They have had for a while, even during my time. But I went on for a new experience because most of my schooling had been done in V4. I went to the Pendry Combined School. I went to Lions Preschool. So all of my schooling was done in the South. And I think it was an enriching experience to see more, to know more, to connect, to have great teachers in a new realm, in a different experience, and to network. And I think it provided opportunities because from there, my first working job was at the Government Information Service as an information assistant. And that connection was actually a recommendation from my dean at the time. So it actually worked out
very well from...
Yes, from that point.
You can actually heard some students saying that they don't offer certain programs at the Southern Campus. Actually, now at South Louis, and you see a lot of the students from the South, so they get a little bit of some problem, I mean, in terms of transportation, because sometimes, you know, they travel from all the way down there and have to go back down in the evening. But I mean, an experience in itself, traveling to school. Speaking of traveling into school, I mean, leaving South Louis, then moved on to my favorite UWIC campus, the UWIK, and that's actually where I first met Raisa in a meeting. And I'll tell you the meeting was actually a LUSAC meeting. So again, showing representation for the island, you know, actually playing a part in what's actually going on overseas. And I think LUSAC was a big part of the Cable experience.
Oh, yes. I'm not sure if the time I met you there I was president or I was just a member.
You're not president. You're a member at the time.
I was a member at the time. I think perhaps a postgrad student. So, yes.
I think you just entered your postgraduate program.
So, LUSAC, for persons who don't know, is the Cable Association of Students for St. Lucian Students, that provides a home away from home representation, community solidarity representation when we have Island Week associations. And so for me, I wanted to be able to ensure that students would have gotten a good experience in transitioning. So I ran for president and served as LUSAC president for a particular stint, and then went on to serve on other organizations at Cable.
Okay. I think at LUSAC, around the time I joined Cable, I came into Cable and came to LUSAC, it was actually a very warming experience. I mean, when you're away from home, I think banding together with St. Lucian is one of the most important things. And LUSAC had that sort of warmth to it. I mean, I don't know if that was always a thing within the organization, but I think we St. Lucians stuck together very well at Cable. And of course, you made a mark for yourself at Cable, moving into CSM, Catholic Student Movement, was actually a really nice thing. I mean, we have in Mass on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's something, you know, boy, you know, you come, but nobody wants to go to church again, eh? You know,
that you. Yeah, because everybody think they're big, they're rich already. They're rich already and they forget God in their life and spirituality matters. But I was happy to see you at some of our services.
I used to come to church. Yeah, I used to come to church. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably twice a month, not every week. But when I got a little chance, I would make a little turn.
Okay.
Okay. After completing your bachelor's degree, moving on to your master's of philosophy degree in political science at the UWI, in very interesting field, an investigation on the political ideology of the St. Lucian Kudme and its utility as a post-colonial model of governance and social and economic and political development. A mouthful. And, you know, again, we have to dissect that. I know what's a kudme.
I testing your knowledge now.
Now, they have two definitions of kudme. They have the academic definition of a kudme.
Tell me what you know. I'm not judging.
Nah, you know what happened? I'll let you tell me.
No, I want to hear from you, so then I can expand and tell you why it was necessary for me to do this study.
Okay, so what I know about a kudme is, one, I'll give you the street definition of the kudme. You come and build a house, you come and drink some rum, and you eat a little food. Kudme.
Okay.
That's the street definition.
That's the street definition.
Now give me the academic definition.
Okay. So the academic definition of a kudme goes beyond people just seeing an activity happen, and it goes to why people do what they do, the ideas that, you know, motivate people to do different things, because somebody doesn't just decide to have a kudme. Not all countries have a kudme. Kudme also exists in spaces like Dominica. Grenada has a variant of kudme, but they call it maroon. And for me, when I was doing political science as an undergraduate student, you always examine as a political science student, you know, your conditions, what are your problems. But I wonder, you know, what are the solutions to some of the problems that we have and what is available in our society? And then I was reflecting on voluntarism. Voluntarism is a general term used, but in the St. Lucian context, in our own history and our own cultural practice, there is a philosophy based on community voluntarism and the idea that each one helps one and builds one based on the Kudme philosophy. So an example of Kudme is what you said, but Kudme is more than that.
Yes.
So it traditionally has been used in terms of home building in St. Lucia for years, even before independence, because we take for granted that St. Lucia being independent is something, you know, somebody just woke up and you were independent and then you had a government that actually was responsible for taking care of the people. Colonial governments did not care for things like housing, welfare, home programs, ensuring that the vulnerable were taken care of. So what the community did, although they did not have good salaries, they did not have many resources, but they had themselves. So what they did based on the idea and their belief system that we are a community and we can build each other was to ensure that they came together. So they gave their labor for free to build homes. They gave their labor to cultivate their farms. They gave labor to build a lot of the indigenous cooperative systems that we find. Labi Credit Union, based out of Kudme. Monipo Cooperative Credit Union, based out of Kudme. A lot of the original road networks and water systems came from Kudme in St. Lucia. So if you look at what the first level of democracy is like in St. Lucia, you can see it is rooted in Kudme. And many communities who have continued to preserve the Kudme spirit, they are some of our strongest communities, whereas you may not see as much or as heavy government financial investment. You wonder, but how is this community still standing and still doing well? It's because they still have that spirit that is kept alive. So my whole theory was, if you already have something that belongs to a nation, it's your job now to utilize it in a way that can help move forward development, and to just see it not just as an act, as you know, people come and they drink rum and they eat together, but how can you now use that to push development in a different way?
Okay.
Maybe even having like a kudme of ideas where, you know, you want to problem solve and you want experts to come in, whether they in St. Lucia or they live in the diaspora, that they now come together. If you think about the social issues with young people, having different experts from within the community come and sit with them and plan, because that is in fact a kudme. So that's really the genesis of my master's and wanting now for persons to see what they have in a light that is not just something that is passing by or something you did a long time ago, but an option that is quite viable in the present as well.
Okay, thank you so much. I have some questions though.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your findings, at least within our post-colonial realm? Where do you see some, well, you made mention to young people and young people development, youth development,
mm-hmm.
and how we could probably sit together, bring some ideas together and see how we could make some sort of a kudme of it. I mean, the assembly panel discussions, I think that you have been on most recently,
mm-hmm.
can we call these things a kudme? Can we term it?
Not fully, because the conceptualization behind it is not based on each one help one all the time. And I don't want people to mistake kudme for, let's take for example, a Rotary Club. It is a form of volunteerism, but it's more like a kind of corporate top-down approach, whereas kudme is, you know, grassroots community and a kind of really belief in, I see my community in a particular way and we have a kind of collective vision. Now, you said that what my findings may have been in terms of the discussion that I had in mm-hmm. the past, you know, for us, when you think about independence, and it may not be necessarily our fault, we think about, okay, a date. So the 22nd of February 1979 is independence for a lot of people, but independence is about sovereignty, and we normally look at sovereignty in two ways. So one is the formal legal, so a state is respected internationally, no one can violate your boundaries or, you know, come to war with you. And the second one, which is one of the most important that I don't think we've actually been able to push forward with, is the ability to take advantage of your economic, your social, sociocultural and other resources. So now that we have gotten formal legal independence, how have we been able to take advantage of the resources that we have to really push forward? And culturally, while St. Lucia is a culturally rich place, culture does not really inform national development or vision in a way that is, you know, sustainable. Or you mentioned something at the beginning, I said I had to hit you on that. You say, well, it's not junior Creole, so we're not going to speak Creole. So mm-hmm. even that kind of mindset that, you know, you use a language only at a particular time or purpose, or you only dress in Madras or national way at a particular time and then you put it away. That too is part and parcel of our challenges, our difficulties. So your community may have a resource that is useful like the kudme. You don't utilize it, and maybe you might adopt a foreign policy strategy for you to now resolve an issue that has nothing to do with the people, what they understand or what they are trying to do. So take for example, our farmers may have their own ways and traditions of cultivating that they learned through experience and also from their own ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we might throw it away and say that is not important, and someone might come and tell us about that very policy in an academic language.
And we need to throw that out.
Yeah, and tell us we need to throw it, and then we come back to the very thing that we've always been doing, and then we discard it. So in the post-colonial findings, we have resources, but we have not really incorporated in our planning, this is our culture, these are the benefits of it, this is who we are, this is the path we want to actually take. So for us, as an independent St. Lucia, we have an independent political system that is modeled after the UK, but you have to ask yourself, does it work for you?
No.
Does it work
for you? I'll answer and say no.
You answer and say
no? Yeah, I'll say no. I'll say no. But we'll do for a quick commercial break.
No.
When we come back inside, we're going to speak a little bit more about independence, some of the themes around independence, and of course, the Folk Research Center.
No,
that's a big part of RISA these days. We are sponsored by the Bank of St. Lucia. Let's take a word from our sponsor.
Sometimes you know where you want to go, but may not know how to get there. Your vision, your future, your life. Bank of St. Lucia provided me the advice that supported my goals at every stage of my life, my business, my retirement, and what I leave for those most important to me. We may not all have the same goals, but we all need to plan for them. BOSLYs. Plan, invest, enjoy.
Finally, a card for everyday living. Banca St. Lucia Visa Credit Card. Everything gets paid with my card. My utility bills, grocery shopping, that cute dress I saw online, my favorite entertainment and Netflix subscriptions. I collect points each time I use my credit card to redeem anytime. Yes! Imagine a credit card rewarding my lifestyle. Bank of St. Lucia Visa Credit Card for everyday people, everyday moments.
Back inside on Youth Unblocked, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Today, our guest is Miss Riza Joseph, current executive director of the FRC, the Folk Research Center. If you don't know what the acronym means, but I think everybody knows that by now. What I need to know is, Riza, where exactly is the FRC these days?
We are located at Barnard Hill Castries, opposite the entrance of the Cultural Development Foundation in the old Intramax building, the former home of the Monroe College.
That's right over there.
Yeah, that's right there. Literally a 5-minute drive away from where you are.
You probably took a, let's say 1-minute drive.
Less than that.
5-minute walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very close to us. Okay. So, the FRC. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I was in Form 5, on the time I was doing Caribbean history, these people sent us out to look for information. I went to the archives in Fiji. Still in Fiji, right? I don't know if the archives still in Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we also went over to the FRC, the nice building at the time, but I mean, things happen. And some information that we got, I mean, boy, we don't know much about these things. So the people there were the ones helping us, pulling out little things, teaching us how to reference, important at the time, because we don't know how to reference properly. You learn to reference probably when you get to A level. But at the time, these were the people that were helping us. So the FRC, places like the Arcad, had very rich importance to students, at least the history students at the time. But now, what exactly are some of the services that the FRC offers?
Okay, so for those who don't know, as you rightfully said, there was a fire that ravaged the FRC on the 25th of March 2018. This year will mark 5 years since the fire. And what was lost in the fire is close to over 4 decades of research on indigenous and Lucian knowledge, from audiovisual recordings, videotapings found nowhere else of persons who were formerly enslaved, mm-hmm. information on indigenous African practices and traditions, flower festivals. There's so much. I think sometimes you could have an actual open day to actually show persons all that was lost. We are currently in the rebuilding phase in terms of trying to rebuild our archives. We can still find information on St. Lucian Calypso. We have four decades produced information on our music and icons in St. Lucia. You would find information on traditional music, flower festivals of St. Lucia, some emancipation knowledge and content. The Creole language in particular is another area of pioneering that we have done.
I'll probably have to come and check you.
And only for parler Creole aussi en asu program sala youth and blood. I'm just telling you again.
Soon.
No, don't tell me soon. Soon starts today.
Soon.
Today. Yes, yeah, so we still offer information at our library, where you would come in, fill information, and it'll be processed. We still to receive documentation that persons would actually bring in, but we're rebuilding a lot of the things we would have lost in the fire 5 years ago. And as I said, that is in itself an entire show to go through all the content that was lost at the FRC, but we are currently in the rebuilding stages. And as you rightfully said, along with institutions like the National Archives, the FRC represents one of the sole places in St. Lucia where you can find information on things that you find nowhere else in St. Lucia, whether it's on independence, different interviews that persons would not normally do, maybe with a folklorist, with a short word in St. Lucia, we would have that.
Okay. I think it's very interesting, though, because here you are, I mean, boom, former educator. I think Edwin make mention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Big teacher in Vieux-Fort Combray.
Yes.
Vieux-Fort Combray. I mean, come from GIS and then straight into an executive role, which is, I mean, for young people, I mean, I love to see. Mm-hmm. I love to see when young people break in the stigma. You know, people like to say, what do you want youth in that for? Young people don't know much. Give it to someone that's more experienced. And you breaking the barrier and coming in. I want to see great job. I mean, I want to see development within the FRC within the years to come. By the time probably your stint is over, you can say, well, this was done in Rice's stint. I see the FRC different little things now. I mean, not necessarily, you know, when Junequil was around, people saying, but why y'all choose that place?
They bump into the road, they miss the entire month of activities and everything else.
When Junequil, they come, oh boy. But why folk research as a Tuesday? Mm. Why CDF? I don't know, CDF.
No, CDF is not responsible for.
You're responsible for that. I mean, you're getting a little backlash. But still, you know, we want to see the progress. I mean, 5 years, a lot would happen over the course of 5 years, and probably within the next 5 years, mm-hmm. we'd look to see a lot happening as well. So for the next 5 years to come, I wish you the best with regards to the FRC.
Yes.
But Rise Up, mm-hmm. when you look at your track record, I mean, with school, etc., you know, you're very vocal on social media, etc., etc., about certain topics. I mean, what exactly is the end goal?
Well, the end goal, that's a big question. And I think some of the questions you asked, maybe God alone will probably know what the end goal, the final,
no,
the
I final mean, is.
Here's the vision, right? I hope to be able to see changes where, okay, we have better governance, and that's not just within government, but also in non-governmental institutions. I would hope to see we reach a point where Creole is an official language of St. Lucia, where we think more strategically about development, especially about people's development and community. So even when we think about local government as it is not truly democratic where people fully participate. I would like to see us do more within the education sector in terms of not just giving students a curricula, but having a benchmark, like when you leave secondary school, what should the average St. Lucian child know or aspire to be as a citizen?
Well, I agree with you here, mm-hmm. not to cut you off, because now I work within education, and I think a lot of the things that I see mm-hmm. is like, what happened? You know, the students now who came into South Louis from COVID, it's like, hey, these students don't know these basic things from math. It's like, we have COVID babies now, and we have to say, but hey, but something has happened over the course of the last 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. that some of the students don't, the way of thinking has literally changed.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, I mean, you're very right in saying that within the education sector, we have some work to do as well.
And I would want for us to see, even in our own independence building, that, you know, we challenge ourselves, we challenge our political parties to not settle for less. And even when, let's say, an election is won and we believe, yes, we have chosen a better party, to still make sure we hold them not just to doing better than who was there before, but to pushing the status quo to have actual transformation. So we actually need that, because when we look at a number of the issues we're suffering with, there is a lack of trust that is building among St. Lucians. And when you have people who do not trust each other or trust their government, it does not bode well for national development. So we want to be able to eliminate that, and also to create opportunities that people can actually see themselves and see their role in actually doing better and building. And in my life, that's what I hope to do in whatever role I actually come into, and to share my philosophy about Kunmi a bit more in writings and other things that you'll actually see.
Yeah, well, I hope to see more writings mm-hmm. and probably a few more newspaper columns, even if it's, you know, people say newspaper and people say...
People need to read more. Yeah. We're not reading enough as a society, yeah, and that's how we end up in trouble too.
Yes, I think sometimes too. Everything is there for you to read. I mean, I had to do some research before coming on
mm-hmm.
to know what exactly is going on with the FRSC now. But, I mean, you can't find everything.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's good to have interviews, because, look now, you told me so much.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, minutes. What's happening with the FRSC before we come to a close, and I know we're wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
This year is 50 years since the FRSC's movement. We began in 1973. We're now in 2023.
Okay.
So it's been 50 years of service to the St. Lucian public, and we're going to be working on some activities to commemorate our movement as an organization, a body, and to also try to revive St. Lucia's understanding and passion for culture and development, which are important for our independence. We've already launched a Creole cultural calendar, which is both in English and Creole, available for purchase at the FRSC for $40.
I think I saw that.
So you need one.
Monsignor Patrick Anthony has that.
Yeah, so you need one, and your guests, your listeners need one. They're available in the south of the island too, at T&M Toys and Stationery as well, upstairs the V4 Plaza. This year, we're going to be launching our website as well. It was down, but we're working on bringing it back up so persons can access our content and information. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be working on a number of things, trying to engage with young people, going back into communities as we started last year, promoting the Creole language. Nuka puse lagash Creole, please. Yes.
From next week.
From today.
Yeah.
You know, next week comes and then you don't do
it. No, next week I'll even send you a video.
You sent me a video?
Yeah, I sent you a video from next week.
Okay.
And I say, I'll just brush, I'll just take my Creole dictionary, brush up on it a little bit.
You have one? Very good.
And yeah, it's on the App Store.
Oh, you have one app? Okay.
A lot of people don't know that it's on the App Store.
Yes, Google Play.
A lot of things not accurate on it, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I am not responsible, and we are not responsible at the FRC for the production of it. And that's all part and parcel of us now having to make it a formal language so that we can correct. Sometimes people use French words as Creole words.
Mm-hmm.
So, say, for example, people say juillet when it should be juillet for July. Yeah?
Okay.
So, there are these things, and also, with language, some words may not be wrong, but it might actually represent how a word is pronounced in a particular region.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these kinds of differences that happen, not just in the Creole language, but in other languages as well. So we need to be able to discuss that so people understand, okay, oh, well, I didn't know that. This is how people say it there. I had no idea.
Yeah, but even with the FRC and your calendar of activities,
mm-hmm.
traditional masquerade, you see December, I want to be on to see something more. Yes, I hope that probably y'all could just give me a little, something around the 13th of December.
So why the 13th? Now, I'm going to challenge you there. Who decided that the 13th was National Day?
No,
why,
I don't.
Why is it national?
I do not know.
No, you have to challenge the things. Because before we used to call Derek Walker Square, what, Columbus Square?
Columbus Square.
And you know we had to rebrand that. Yeah, the 13th of December is the day that Christopher Columbus allegedly discovered San Lucia, which already had people on it. So we have to rebrand.
And take it out.
I didn't necessarily say take it out. If you want, call it Indigenous Peoples. They give the Amerindian people in St. Lucia, a particular focus.
That's what I was taught. So hopefully, we could take that out of the curriculum.
We can unlearn and relearn some things. Okay, very good.
Understand? Yes. Hopefully. But with traditional masquerade, I think that's something that's been dying.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up doing a culture course while I was at UWE.
Mm-hmm.
And through research, I actually realized that traditional masquerade is not actually part of our carnival,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually part of our National Day Christmas.
It normally happens around the Christmas period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. We've taken a lot of things that have cultural meaning and significance for periods, and then we transport it into as products for different occasions without even sharing with people the actual meaning behind it.
Even why it's there.
Yeah, why it's mm-hmm. there. And that's the thing. Once you don't know the why behind it, then you'll not see the significance of it. And even for traditional masquerade and practice, you now have to say, who teaches the next generation of masqueraders.
Who teaching? Where do you go, zombies?
Or the folk musicians. So what?
Every single one of these men are old, you know.
Okay.
Every single.
So
one.
So then, what are we doing about
it? Okay, let me tell you what. I'll tell you one thing that was done. My mother sent me to learn quadrille. So I can.
Do you dance quadrille?
I can still dance quadrille. As part of Helen Folk Dancers for years.
Are you still dancing now?
Not dancing now.
Okay, you have to come back and.
But
dance.
If somebody tells me, let's go and do a polka or something, I could still do it. I could still give you that. I think the feet can do
like
it.
You can do a peachy and everything.
Peachy and everything. La Comet, all that. All right. I'm still giving you that. All you understand? Right. So it's not October alone, you know.
Okay, so you encourage your friends to do so too?
Well, mm-hmm. that's the thing. These groups have been dying. I don't even think there's Helen Folk anymore. There's not a practice. We start practice every Saturday. That doesn't happen anymore. So we probably have some of the older people.
Have you called the group to find out? You know, I put in the pressure back.
See,
putting
pressure back on me.
Yeah, no, because we have to put pressure on everything so we can come together and say, well, you know, it's not happening, but what's happening? What's going on? Doing a promo?
I agree. So I think a lot can be done.
It's true.
We have something to do. We have things to do. And we have the time. We have the entire year to go.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully every time the FRC say we have something big, we have people to just come and do something.
And share and sustain.
Yeah, because you know you don't have money. But that's another story. You understand? Government.
You can
government.
Donate. No, society. Government, NGOs, private sector.
Everybody.
Because when people want information, they don't say, well, it's only the government that gives us a subvention that supports some of the work, you know. I should give too. But we need help. We need support in all of the initiatives.
So you know
what
I'll buy a calendar from you.
Okay, good. You heard that?
I'm telling you, I'll buy a calendar from you.
Okay.
So you think I'm joking? Today is the 16th. It's now, it's 3:44.
It's 3:44, okay.
So, Raisa, just before we end,
yes.
Anything you want to say in closing? Anything I did not touch on?
I really am lost for words. All I can say is thank you. Merci à Pile Poutin pour parler à ce comment à ce travail FRC et puis guilty avec développement ethnicity. Thank you so much for the time and for the opportunity to
not
speak.
Not a problem.
Yes, and continue doing
hopefully
good
we
job.
Can see you again soon talking about something related to the FRC. Big that you're doing for your 50 years.
For 50 years, no problem.
I'll come and tell them all what's in the calendar next week. Because hopefully I come and buy it before that.
Well, you will. You said you said it.
Yeah, I said, I didn't tell you when, but I tell you.
Okay, before independence, I'm putting a.
That's Wednesday.
Yeah, so you have some days to go. Tomorrow is Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Guys, this has been another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Now remember, the FRC have the calendars on sale. The Creole.
And English.
And English calendars. It has a beautiful picture on the cover. Yep. You understand? My parish priest. You understand? Mm-hmm. So go. Yeah.
Yeah, and you also have more than that. You also have cultural activists, little bios, write-ups on them. Mm-hmm. That's found inside of it. How would you say New Year in Creole? In Creole, you know?
No idea.
Well, it's in the calendar too, and a number of other things.
So I just learning some things in the calendar.
You learn so many things, and it's not a calendar that you throw away. That's information that you'll always have. So when you try and type here, I come and check. You're not being well, lady. You know how to spell Monday.
Come on, everyone knows how to spell that. Some diva, do it. That is not a week.
Yeah, you learn how to spell these basic things. That
you know how to spell that because you're posting on the status all the time. But I mean, you'll
get there.
Okay. All right, guys. So until next week, my name is Khalid Vidal, and thank you to our sponsor, you know, Bank of St. Lucia. People, everyday people, go out, get yourself a BOSL card. It's the best bank in St. Lucia. Why? We stay national. You understand? Home sweet home. You get a mortgage on a nice rate. Not bad piece of land. All thanks to